precedent here is very simple. If you have a federal law enforcement official engaging in federal law enforcement action, that's a federal issue. That guy is protected by absolute immunity. He was doing his job. She tried to run somebody over with her car, and the guy defended himself when that happened. Next question.
Welcome back to what I know is going to be a good over half an hour of discussion with you. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of people on the text line already wanting to weigh in on this. Tim, for example, with a text saying this wasn't in Saskatchewan, so it's inappropriate and hypothetical that you have a Sask use of force expert on. Okay. Tim goes on to say the driver steered the vehicle into the officer. It was the driver that put the officer in front of her. I respect everyone's opinion on this, and I respect that clearly some of us are seeing this video very different. If this officer was 25 feet in front of her vehicle and she swerved and drove directly at him, yes, she put him in front of the vehicle. This officer was standing within a very short distance of the vehicle. Doesn't matter which way her wheels were positioned. He was in front of the vehicle. I mean, that to me, it seems very clear. I don't know. But I also saw, did you see the New York, was it New York Times, New York Post? There was an interview done directly with Donald Trump where the reporter and Donald Trump watched the video and they literally watched it together. If you see the report, and they come up with a different assessment on it. And look, I will be the first to say, yes, this is the problem with analyzing the video in the absence of all of the other information. What was the intelligence that was known ahead of this? What was the, you know, what had they been dealing with? What had those officers dealt with in the hours prior to this happening? Was there something that led them to believe that this woman was a threat? There's, you know, all kinds of challenges there for sure. So the investigation will have to roll out. Now, I said it yesterday. I did not change my opinion today. This to me is excessive force. I do not believe a gun needed to be shot in this case. Was the woman putting herself in this position? 100%. She did. And was she in the wrong? Was she in the wrong for not following police giving a lawful order? 100%. But there's been how many times can I draw an example? There were protesters. This is going to get people going. There were protesters in Ottawa at the truckers convoy that didn't follow lawful orders. That didn't, you know, if one of those protesters who was trying to drive into an area didn't follow and was driving away from police, would they have deserved to be shot? I can hear it now. People say, well, if they tried to run the cop over with their vehicle, then yes, they did. I don't know. I mean, this may be one that you and I can go back and forth on, and we may not ever see it the same way, but I want to see what you think, and I want to hear your thoughts. So when we come back, it is open lines and open texts from you here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Trying to spin this as an action of self-defense. Having seen the video of myself, I want to tell everybody directly, that is
the desire to get out and protest and to speak up to this administration of how wrong this is, that is a patriotic duty at this point in time, but it needs to be done safely.
To ICE, get the out of Minneapolis.
This is getting spun, but I feel like it's getting spun politically by both sides. Like there, you hear the governor of Minnesota, the mayor of Minneapolis. We just played the vice president of the United States. Very different sides to this, very different opinions on this, and very loud, aggressive language on both sides of this. And you know what? Our text line is no different. It really is no different. here's, you know, I'm just looking at these texts here for a second. As a person who believes in life, the shooting of that person is horrible. Watching five different videos, the officer could have avoided the car. It's sad and wrong. That's Scott in Swift Current. Sean in Weyburn says the takedown of a domestic terrorist in Minneapolis, it's laughable that the media is judging the actions and skills of a law enforcement officer from a two-minute video. The officer at the Capitol who shot and killed an unarmed woman during the so-called insurrection was labeled a hero. Steve in Saskatoon, I have no sympathy for domestic terrorists under the guise of protest. And then you get Kelly, who says, let's get serious for a moment. Anyone who believes the woman put the officer's life at risk is seeing what they want to see. This is not a left or right issue. It's a right or wrong issue. You know, back to Steve's text, I have no sympathy for domestic terrorists under the guise of protest. I agree with you, Steve. I agree. I mean, I've said this many times. I had to be tolerant of protest in my former job. But since I've been on the radio, I've been saying quite often, protest frustrates the hell out of me. It really did. Whether it was lawful or not, I mean, I respect the right to protest, but I sometimes want to say, like, honestly, don't you have anything better to do? So I get frustrated with protesters, and especially protesters when they cross the line, right? We've talked about this with the pro-Palestinian protests, and I say, get in there and make an arrest. Don't let them. I mean, in Canada, I would argue that that police are lax when it comes to protesters. Often where I see criminal charges could be laid, they aren't being laid when they're putting people's lives in danger and those types of things. So in this case, yes, I too am frustrated that protesters were injecting themselves and blocking roadways and obstructing officers. And in some cases, it sounds like earlier in the day, actually insulting and threatening officers. So all of that bugs me. It does not mean that you get to shoot the protesters. Now, did she drive her vehicle at this person, at this officer trying to kill him? Lots of people saying, I'm really conflicted on this. Lots of people saying that. Here's a text that says, I'm 50-50 on whether it was the right thing to do. The problem is that the previous administration let 11 million people into the United States, and this administration and these ICE agents have a massive mess to clean up. Mistakes will happen on the job of this size and this scale. 1-877-332-8255. That's the number. Let's go to the phone lines. First caller today, Jack in Regina. Jack, what have you got for me?
Well, I agree with one of the texts that you got in that this is really a legal issue of right or wrong. But let's accept the fact right now that this presidency and this White House is totally beyond control and totally illegal in everything they're doing. I cannot believe that people could watch that video and then the president and the secretary of ICE come out and say this was an act of domestic terrorism by this woman who president said that the vehicle ran over police officers. This is a complete fabrication. It's unbelievable. No investigation, just a statement. And I cannot believe what's going on. And I cannot believe that people can walk through moment by moment, second by second of that video and say that woman was trying to hit that police officer and deserved to die with three bullets in her head.
1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Dwayne in Carrot River. Dwayne, thanks for calling in. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm just really glad I don't have to live in a country where a woman taking her children to school gets killed. And I also want to point out that when you're stopping someone like that, you don't know whether they're drunk. You don't know what's wrong. I've never heard of a police officer with as much freedom as they had. She wasn't going down the highway at 60 miles an hour. They could have watched her go down the street. They have all kinds of officers there. They pick her up at the next corner. This whole idea that they're trying to protect this idiot that would shoot her in the head three times in front of her child. A mother's job is to protect her children. I think.
But can, Dwayne, can I ask, was it in front of her child? I don't know that part of this story.
I think they said there was another child in the vehicle.
I don't think so. I could be wrong, Dwayne. I could be wrong, but I did not hear that.
I heard that down on the station in the States when it first happened, but maybe they're wrong too. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't think that an RCMP officer or a city police officer in Canada would be firing a gun into a car without even knowing who all's in there.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I saw, thanks, Dwayne, for the call. I just want to make sure that we're, you know, there's so much out there. And so I didn't think she had anyone else in the car with her. I could be wrong. My understanding is she was actually part of the protest. Her spouse was out on the street. In fact, her spouse was one of the ones videotaping the interaction. And obviously that, for many people adds to the tragedy of this situation. But at the end of the day, I just want to make sure that we're accurate on our details. So I do believe that she was there, part of the act of protest. That's the understanding I have. And I said this earlier, I also acknowledge that we learned yesterday, I heard this last night, that this officer had been involved in a similar situation. I'm seeing that play out a little bit on the text line as well. I do think that that is a factor that needs to be considered when they do their reflective investigation on this. Because if this officer has been in a similar situation, that could impact how he made his decision. Now, some people are suggesting if he's been in a similar situation, he should know better. Why was he in front of the vehicle? I'm seeing that side of it play out as well. But I do know that these types of things will factor into the investigation when we look at it. 1-877-332-8255. I welcome your calls. Let's stay on the phone line for a bit yet. I'm going to go next to Saskatoon. I've got Greg calling in. Greg, I appreciate you calling. What are your thoughts on this situation?
First of all, I haven't talked to you for a bit, so happy New Year, Evan.
Same to you, my friend.
So, okay, I'm blaming Trump for all of this crap because, as I was saying to Frank, Minneapolis, they didn't want ICE there in the beginning. They didn't want them there at all, correct?
Yeah, I know that they've been against it, but that doesn't mean that they don't, you know, I mean, that doesn't mean that they get to say no to the federal government.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like, Trump is just flexing his muscles. He went into Venezuela and he took out a bad guy, and that's all fine and well, but then he's going to take over the country and start, like, okay, whatever. He wants Greenland, you know, like, he's turning into Putin. Like I said to Frank, might as well call him Donald Trump Putin.
So you think, I mean, I've been trying on this incident desperately to pull politics away, but I mean, it's impossible not to talk about it. So you feel that politics really is behind just the heightened violence that we've seen in the States is where you're going.
Absolutely. Donald Trump is just trying to be King Kong and beat his chest and show how mighty he is. Anybody else's opinion doesn't matter to him.
1-877-332-8255 is the number. We're going to go next to Brian in Regina. Brian, I appreciate you calling in. Your thoughts?
I'm really sick and tired of people hiding behind lawyers and whatever it takes to get off. When somebody, and they're wearing a uniform and they say, stop, stop. Do what they tell you. But if they don't like what's going on, they should go put a uniform on and they should try to do it. Because it's not that easy. You don't know what's on the other side. You don't know what they're doing. And I'll tell you what, none of them will go and pick up a uniform and go to work like that. It's, you guys, the police are terribly underrated, terribly overtaxed with what they have to do. And they always wonder if they're going to make it home that night. I think it's just a disgrace.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, Brian, I have a tough time disagreeing with anything you just said. I mean, I do, God, I'll tell you, I love police. Love and value the work that police officers do. And let's just for a second remind ourselves that ICE officers are a bit different than police officers, but they are doing an enforcement role. I am a very strong supporter of police, always will be. My son, who I talked to on the phone last night about this incident, is a police officer and part of the tactical team with the Saskatoon Police Service. And we talked about tactics and positioning. I mean, that's what my son and his buddies who are on the tactical team are hung up on, is really about, you know, was the shooting justified or not? They're saying, you know, it is possible that this officer felt his life was in jeopardy, but it was based on very bad tactics and positioning. Why was he in front of the vehicle to begin with? That's what they are hung up on, because they train, of course, constantly about safe tactics to deal with volatile violent situations. And so that's what a lot of people are focused on. So, Brian, I appreciate your kind words for policing, because I do agree with you. It's a very tough job. And unless you've done the job, sometimes it's very hard to kind of wrap your head around all the elements of it. But I also said, and I say this again today, I said it yesterday, I think we have to be able to stand up and say, if there's something that doesn't feel right, smell right, look like, we also have to be able to say that. And that is what this radio station is all about. This was built on the ability to have tough discussions on important conversations. And this is one of the biggest conversations going on in probably North America right now, is this incident that happened on Wednesday in Minneapolis. We'll take our break. We'll come back. Phone line's still busy and lots of texts to get to. 1-877-332-8255. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
We can't back down. Simple as that. They want to come and open a big manufacturing facility and employ Unifor employees. Well, let's talk. But don't be shipping cars in, not manufactured by Ontarians. And Hyundai, it's a shout out to you. And Kia, we buy 220,000 cars here in Ontario and Canada. You got to open a plant.
Yeah,
I'm
begging you. Oh, yeah. Canadian politics. Remember that? Oh, that's Doug Ford, of course, not wanting Mark Carney when he goes over to China next week to drop the EV tariffs. That's a whole separate discussion. We don't need to get into that right now. But we're going to jump right back onto the phone line because I got so many calls coming in. But don't forget, Bugs and Hugs after 10, so we can really continue this conversation as long as you want. I'm going to go to Ken in Saskatoon. Ken, thanks for calling in. Your thoughts?
Well, I think I'd like to just back up a little bit with this and ask you a question, because this shooting in Minnesota doesn't happen in a vacuum. So when you were police chief in Regina, if mayors all across the country, if the premier of the province, if other premiers of the province were all screaming that what you were doing was illegitimate and that residents of Regina should put their bodies on the line and get involved when you were trying to make arrests, how would you then go and start to think that this was an untenable situation and something bad was going to be happening?
Yeah, your point is so well taken, Kenan. You know, it's not exactly the same, but through George Floyd, it did kind of become the world against police. We were all painted with the same brush. Morale even within the police services was terrible because people were against the police. So you're right. I mean, we are in a time when people are feeling this way against police, and that does factor into a us versus them attitude. There's no question it does. I just have to draw the line at squeezing the trigger when you shouldn't, I guess, is kind of where I'm going there. Let's go to Tyler on the road. Tyler, what do you say?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Brake?
I'm good. I welcome you to the show. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, my question is, right now, I first saw the video, then I heard Trump's comments, and that's when I kind of lost it mentally. I'm like, this does make no sense, the comments compared to the video. And then that side of the argument that says this was a domestic terrorist and a justified shooting also puts on people from the FBI speaking about their level of the training in regard to the use of deadly force. The one person that I think is doing the best job is the city of Minnesota's police chief, because he will regularly speak to the training that he gets, the training that he has seen, and it doesn't justify what happened on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go, one more thing quickly, the Department of Homeland Security's website talks about a $50,000 signing bonus for ICE agents, a student loan forgiveness, 25% law enforcement ability to pay, which I probably shouldn't be. my point is that I also saw that during the Trump era, they shortened the training for ICE agents.
Yeah.
I'll sum it up here quickly. What type of training do these individuals actually get? And then they're confronted with making these decisions to potentially pull the trigger. And the other point I want to make is this individual was apparently drugged assaulted, let's call it, with a motor vehicle in the past, and it wasn't that long ago. Was he psychologically ready to go back to face a similar situation without overreacting? Just some thoughts I have.
All very fair points, Tyler. I appreciate you calling in, and I am literally squeaking in Dusty from Langham before we take our next break. Dusty, what's your question?
I've heard all kinds of rumors, this, that, and the other thing. Her husband is standing there taking a video of it.
I think it's wife. I think it's her wife, actually, Dusty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is this person that got shot a professional protester? Or
she was a protester for sure. I don't know if she was professional. She lived in Minneapolis and recently had moved. It sounds like it moved to Minneapolis about 3 months ago, I think.
Yeah. You know, I've heard these rumors, and a professional protester, well, that's what they do.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, we've seen that happen. In fact, we saw that with Unifor in the province of Saskatchewan. They brought in 1,000 professional protesters from down east. So it is a thing. In this case, I think it's safe to say she was a protester. I don't know if she was a professional paid protester. And I honestly don't know if that makes a difference ultimately when you're assessing whether or not it was an appropriate level of force. Okay, we're taking our break. We're going into Bugs and Hugs, but you don't have to leave. If you're on the phone line, Preston, Ian, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Bugs and Hugs gives you the opportunity to continue this conversation. Your texts, your calls are welcome here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.